Business Disability Forum, creating a disability smart world together.
Welcome back to our podcast and webisode series called If You Don't Mind Me Asking, where we invite some rather interesting people along to share their lived experience of disability. I'm Lucy, and once again, I'm joined by my co-host, Dan.
Lucy, today we are delighted to be joined by Isaac Harvey, MBE, who is, and I have a list here, which I do have to read. So here's where the notes come in, because there are that many roles. So Isaac is a disability advocate, president of Wheels and Wheelchairs, patron for Happy Smiles, Power 100 Disabled People 2021, a Purple Tuesday ambassador, a model, a video editor, and I'm sure in the time that we've last spoken, it's probably been a couple of months, there's plenty of other roles to introduce there as well. So Isaac, great to have you. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are and what you do, other than all of those roles, of course.
Well, thanks for having me. I think the introduction's been enough. I don't have to say much more. No, I'm joking. So I'm Isaac, born in East London, with a disability called limb pelvic hypoplasia, which means I have no arms and short legs, a weak pelvis, which means I'm not able to walk, scoliosis, which is the curvature of the spine, and on top of all of that, I have acid reflux. But I've had really supportive friends and family since day one who have always encouraged me to be the best version of myself. And that's allowed me to do that long list you mentioned earlier.
That's amazing. So, I mean, that is all stuff that you had throughout your life. Can you tell us a little bit about your upbringing, your experiences that you've had in sort of, I suppose, living with those disabilities?
Yeah, so it's been a bit of a 50-50. So on one hand, it's been really fulfilling. And as I said, I've had really supportive people who've never really discouraged me from doing things. And whenever I say I'm going to do something as wild as a skydive, they say, yeah, if you want to do it, then go for it. So that's really been helpful. And I think it's because of my disability, I've been able to do all of these things and get these opportunities and be able to have a platform like this. It's been because of my disability. So it's definitely opened a lot of doors for me. But on the other hand, it comes with pain every single day of my life because of sitting in my chair for too long. That's caused a lot of pain. When I was younger, public transport wasn't as accessible as it is now, so I had to get taxis everywhere. And then when I eventually got onto public transport, it was the most terrifying thing I've ever experienced, because my chair would go all over the place, and I said, nope, I'm not using the bus anymore. So that took quite a while to get used to, and a lot of barriers that life puts in front of people with disabilities. And something that I've really been learning, being more of an outspoken advocate for the past two or so years now, especially on LinkedIn. So, yeah, it's come with its 50-50, but overall, I've lived a very fulfilling life. And on top of that, dealing with my mental health as well played a huge part in that too, and coming to terms with that through that journey. And realizing that, yeah, my disability has been my biggest strength, but I was blinded by that for a very long time.
We'll come back to some of that in a minute, Isaac, because I do want to talk to you about your LinkedIn content and the topics you discuss. And you make me feel guilty on LinkedIn, like you're busy doing something, it appears every day. And I'm like, God, I've just sat at my desk replying to emails. But I will come back to that. One thing I wanted to just focus on a little bit was that president of Wheels and Wheelchairs, because if someone's never heard of that, can you tell us a little bit more about what that is and how that works?
Sure. So Wheels and Wheelchairs is a outdoor activity sports club, which started in 2012, where roller skaters push wheelchair users. And on a weekly basis, we skate around London, on Saturdays, Battersea Park, and then on Sundays, we skate with about between 100 to 200 other skaters on the streets of London, and we take part in fun skates where we well, recently we dressed up in pajamas on a skate, and there's a Santa skate where everyone's dressed up as Santa Claus, and a few other fun skates in between. And then we've also taken part in marathons as well, Istanbul, going to Berlin as well. So yeah, quite a lot of different activities, but it's all good fun.
And is it the social aspect or the just getting out there and doing stuff? What was it that brought that together and gave you the idea or made that come to life, as it were?
So the group started in 2012 after a French group had been doing similar activities in Paris. And for their 10th anniversary, they challenged themselves to skate from Paris all the way to London for the start of the Paralympic Games. So they contacted skaters here because they wasn't sure on the routes on how to get to the stadium, I think it was. And they said, oh yeah, we're bringing wheelchairs and we're going to be on roller skates. And the skaters here were thinking, what a weird concept. Like, that's not going to really work. But they said, okay, if you know what you're doing, we can help you out. And then once they had arrived, the skaters were so impressed. They said, yeah, we've got to start something here. And that's how Wheels and Wheelchairs was born. And it started taking out people from the hospice at first, and then it's gone to all types of disabilities. And I got involved and heard about it at the end of 2018, after going to Winter Wonderland in Hyde Park. Went on the ice rink in my electric chair, and one of the marshals came up to me and we started talking. And he said, oh, would you be interested in wheelchair roller skating? And I'd never heard of this concept before. So I said, yeah, sure. I've done other adrenaline activities, but never done that before. So yeah, that sounds good. And it's close to home as well, because usually some of these activities have to go abroad, but this is straight in London, so I can get to it. And yeah, kind of went off from there, and I've really enjoyed it ever since.
Fantastic. I'm going to come back to that social media stuff now. And just... Okay. I know when we had a little chat a few weeks ago, and I know you said you avoided creating like disability related content for quite a while. Now we can't keep you off there, can we? And as I say, you're always doing something, which is fantastic, because there's so much new content coming through all the time. But what was it that changed your mind to focusing around disability and using that as a topic, and you're underpinning most of the stuff you talk about?
So when I left school, I knew I didn't want to do the 9-to-5. And that's because I've always had a creative mind, and I wanted to express that creativity through video, because I did media in school, and YouTube was starting to become a thing back then. So I started creating vlogs of my adventures and things that I would get up to. And friends and family during this time would always say to me, oh, you really need to talk about disability. You can really change people's perspectives, and you can really change people's lives and things. And I always said, oh, why do I need to do that for? I don't really understand why I need to do that. I just like creating content. Why should I be talking about disability? Because like I said, I just like creating things and having fun. So I kept on ignoring friends and family. And then I was given an opportunity to talk about overcoming obstacles at this, I guess you could say, a bit of a conference. I said, yeah, sure, I can do that. So in that talk, I spoke about how it's been difficult to use train stations because not all the lifts are good, and I can't get on all of the trains and the buses, and the ramps not working, and the buggies taking priority over the wheelchairs, and the drivers not doing anything about it, but I'm still able to do X, Y, and Z. And those people really liked what I had to say. And I always remember this, a woman came up to me afterwards, after I'd finished talking, and she said, oh, I get loads of pain in my legs, and I'm always complaining about it, but after hearing your story, it's really changed my perspective on things, and I really am thankful for you sharing your story. And that was kind of the first time I'd heard it, not from a friend or family member, and the impact I was making. So I started implementing it into my videos. And then this was also going through the mental health and understanding the importance of being honest. about how I am and the stories that I share. And then, transferred onto LinkedIn. And I guess that's how I solidified a bit of a voice in the community and talking and being an advocate for disability just by sharing my lived experience.
Okay, but it's funny what you say there as well about maybe not as a rule always ignoring friends and family, but it's one of those things you have to come to yourself, isn't it? Especially sort of like say you've had that creative mind and then you're like, well, actually, this is the way I want to channel it now. And so you've probably got friends and family just after you start doing that going, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Wish we'd mentioned that. But yeah. Fantastic. I know myself as someone who sort of, but the way my mind works or perhaps doesn't work, it can take me all day just to do a tweet. So in terms of the amount you get to do around all of your video editing, all of this content creation, and what you've already shared about your disability, I wondered if you had any, like, you know, what do you do? How do you manage to keep that churn up? You know, what sort of software or hardware are you using to be able to make that possible?
So it does come with its challenge because currently I'm doing most of it solo, and that's from like the writing, the LinkedIn post, the video editing, the scheduling, the meetings, the podcasting, all types of different things. It's all done solo, and it does come quite challenging at times to remember all of it and being able to keep on top of it all. But one thing I make sure to do is I do one thing at a time, and realizing I can't do everything all at once, and try not to overwhelm myself in the process. And there's been some technologies now I've been using this year, which has really helped in that productivity as well. So I have one now which takes meeting notes for me, so that helped me remember meetings, and if people forget to send over notes, I have that already down. So that's a software called Jamie. I use Microsoft Word for voice dictation because I can type with my foot, but it's not as fast, and I do get painful typing for too long. So that's really helped. And I also have hands-free technology for my phone to take phone calls and being able to do those certain things. So yeah, it's a bit of a mix of hardware and software, but one thing at a time.
But actually, I know when we spoke, I was, maybe it's my naivety, I was slightly surprised you didn't have more specialized kit, because you just use your feet to do stuff that I might use my hands to do stuff. And actually, I think that's really, and I know that sounds daft and really simple, but actually stuff like that is just really interesting, because why wouldn't you just use your feet? So I think actually that for me was kind of like, oh, don't be so stupid, Lucy. Of course people just do stuff a bit differently, but use the same kit, the same software and everything else, a few little bits maybe. But and actually I think there's more accessibility features built into stuff these days as well, isn't there? So that really helps, and again keeps the cost down if you're paying for that stuff as well, doesn't it? So
and usually it's equipment that's not really advertised as being accessible, but it actually is. Mm. So that's been really good when it's implemented for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And reduces the stigma, because actually it benefits all of us. I've been using speech to text and text to speech in the just today to do some stuff. So, and I don't have an access need, it just helps and makes life a bit easier. So that stuff's brilliant, isn't it? I was going to say to you, one of the things that definitely comes across in your social media is your authenticity and your honesty, not to sort of shock people or anything else. You're just keeping it real, I suppose, isn't it? And being very honest about when it's a good day, when you've had the best day and you've been modelling on the catwalk, or when you've just had a really crummy day, you couldn't get the bus, your carers let you down, or whatever might have been the issue. And actually that is the life of a person with a disability, isn't it? But for you, what are the most sort of frustrating things that you live with on a day-to-day basis? What are the things that are just really get you down when it's really tough?
I think the biggest one for me would have to be not having the flexibility to always go out and do something for a long period of time. I mean, I can travel independently into London and probably can do a half day. But if I'm not meeting someone or I go out with someone, It means I'm not able to eat and drink, being able to go to the bathroom, because I can't do that without any assistance. So that can sometimes be very frustrating when I'm free to do something, but because I don't have anyone to come with, I'm very restricted. And that's happened quite a lot, because at the moment I rely on friends and family to help with that. But really good news. I'm going to be making the call to access to work soon, and that's going to hopefully make a huge difference in my life and allow me to have that flexibility, and being able to be a bit more spontaneous with life and keep doing what I'm doing, but in a more productive and enhanced way. But yeah, it does frustrate me currently at the moment. And yeah, can get me down.
It's I know we spoke as well around some of the, I suppose, sort of attitudes as well previously in one of our conversations, Isaac, around how they can sometimes, or maybe in the past, been a barrier as well.
Attitudes in general.
Yeah. In terms of sort of like what you've faced.
Yeah, I feel, you know, one thing I've really noticed when it comes to attitude, and there's a bit of, I have to be a bit defensive on some of it, of what I'm about to say, but the attitude of not seeing the importance of accessibility, and it being something that can affect everybody, because, you know, the amount of stories that people share regarding, you know, going for a job or stores not being very accessible, like there's not enough room to get around, and people not doing web accessibility correctly. But, you know, at the end of the day, if they were to get that correct, it's only helping your business or yourself do better, but also realizing that anyone at any given time can get a disability. So the attitude of it not being at the forefront of every conversation and why it's so important still baffles me, being an advocate in the space. And I do feel since being it and being able to connect with loads of people, it has been changing and a lot of people are having that understanding, but it's still got a bit of a long way to go. And also, the bit I was going to say about defending the point is, if you don't know about it, then how are you meant to know? So I think it's, you know, it's one of those things where we got to see it as a two-way street and educate people as well as learn from each other.
Yeah, I've certainly seen a lot of your LinkedIn posts around that as well, about Champion, where that accessibility is being brought in, whether it be in, I know recently there's some stuff around sort of like wheelchair lifts, like a hotel that you're using, or you're going to events there as well. So being able to point out the good practice where it exists, and, you know, whether these things are perfect or not, but at least where that effort is being made. I know there could be quite a lot of noise around all of that as well, especially sort of as soon as you start to touch on social media, or you probably get that quite a lot, just as in, again, the amount of times you're either putting yourself out there as well, in terms of whether it's LinkedIn or any of the social media, that there's lots of voices, I suppose, in both directions as well, as soon as you put yourself out there.
Oh, yes, definitely. It's all types of opinions whenever I put any sort of posts out. But yeah, I do like to highlight the good, because I think that's sometimes overlooked. And negative always gets the most attention. So I'd like to showcase what is out there and what happens when you do it correctly, that you get good customer experiences and you get more people wanting to come and support your business if you're doing so. So, you know, showing the good is only helping a lot of people understand the benefits of it.
Yeah, great stuff. It's what we're about here as well. So, well, that's a bit of luck. right. So we were going to ask as well around the fact that obviously been through so many of these roles already. You're a model, you're a content creator, advisor, and president, wheels of wheelchairs. Wanted to hear a little bit about that. So what is next for you? What's next in the pipeline for you? I mean, for me, it sounds like you might need a rest, but that's me talking.
What is next? I mean, to be honest, I've been going with the flow. So most of the things nowadays, it's like I never knew really existed or I'd ever get myself involved in. So I'm kind of going with the flow. But I think the biggest one next is I'm going to be collecting my MBE in November.
Fantastic. Nice. The next one, I'm going to be collecting my MBE. Yeah.
Go on. Who are you going to take to that one? Who's got the pride of place? Is your plus one for that?
So I've got a plus three, so I can take...
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
So quickly put Lucy on mute.
So definitely it has to be my mum.
Yeah.
She's definitely helped me to get to where I am today. I've taken the person who founded Wheels and Wheelchairs because part of the why I've got the MBE is because of Wheels and Wheelchairs. So I thought it would be only right for me to invite them. And my friend Kat, who's been making bespoke clothing for me for the fashion walk. And she's going to be making me an outfit for the day. So I thought it would be nice for you to see it in person when you're there. So
I was going to say, you're going to need a special outfit for that day, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes.
Fantastic. And I was going to say, you did some modelling for Unhidden, didn't you, at London Fashion Week in 2022, which is where your model status comes from. So, which was fantastic. And stuff like that's so important because we need to see a diverse range of people on the catwalk. And, you know, Vogue followed up with that. And there does seem to be a real positive change in this area, doesn't there?
Oh, 100%. I mean, being in the fashion world wasn't something I wanted to get into. Because I admit it was one of those spaces that I did mock, actually, because I didn't really understand it. And whenever I saw people on the catwalks, it was those ridiculous outfits, and I thought, if that's fashion, I don't want to get involved in it. So I didn't really look really into it, but until Victoria contacted me about adaptive clothing, because it was a term I'd never heard of. Because when it came to clothing, my mom just made sure my clothes fitted me. So I never really knew about adaptive clothing, but having the opportunity to be on the catwalk and wear it, it's when my mind clocked and I was like, oh, actually, yeah, now I see the importance of this and why we need to really be speaking about it, because so many people are missing out on clothing and options. So to be in this space, I'm glad I'm able to use my network to be able to share it and make it more known.
Yeah. I was going to ask you a question. I don't know if it's really relevant to you. So let's see where this one goes.
Okay.
You talked about how, you always thought you could do anything as a child. And, you know, your family is really supportive. And obviously, you've name checked the mum. Mums are always very important. Obviously, I say that as a mother. But is there a piece of advice you'd have offered to young Isaac, maybe sort of between 5 and 10, in terms of where his life was going to go or what his dream should look like? So what bit of advice would you give your younger self?
I would have told my young self that it's okay to not be okay, because I wasn't very confident in sharing my emotions, seeing being vulnerable as a negative, rather than seeing it as a positive thing and something that I can really build on. So to really, just to internally believe in yourself and don't really rely on outside sources to bring the internal happiness.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Well, unfortunately, as ever, so we're coming to the end of our time with you at the minute, Isaac. So I was going to ask I'm sure you're pretty much all over the online space, but where would you like our listeners to find you online?
So I am on all platforms at I Am Isaac Harvey, but I mainly post on LinkedIn now, where I share my lived experience on a day-to-day basis. And if you would like to follow Wheels and Wheelchairs, that's at Wheels and Wheelchairs on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn as well. And yeah, thanks for having me.
You're ever so much, Isaac. It's been fantastic for us. So thanks both from Lucy and myself. And I'm sure we will be back for another episode soon. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. You can find future episodes on major streaming platforms. Search Business Disability Forum or at businessdisabilityforum.org.uk and search podcasts. You can also watch the series on our YouTube channel. Search for Business Disability Forum. Please do share and leave us a rating. Business Disability Forum is the leading business membership organisation in disability inclusion. We work in partnership with business, government and disabled people to remove barriers to inclusion. businessdisabilityforum.org.uk